Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Jim, we acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land, and we pay our respects to their elders past and present. Everyone in attendance is advised that the audio of this General Council meeting will be recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website, subject to technical flaws, etc. Are there any declarations of interest by any members? Councillor Appleby?
The Marion Outdoor Hall sign due to my position on the DAP.
Right. Can I just ask of implications of being on the DAP, the Development Assessment Panel, in relation to that item?
Yes, thank you. Through the Chair, if a development application is presented to the panel for consideration in relation to this matter, the elected members would be advised, who are members of the DAP, to declare a conflict of interest and leave the meeting tonight.
Sorry, so is it anticipated that there will be an application submitted?
It will depend on Council's decision. If Council actually wishes to proceed to install an LED sign and shift it from its current location, yes.
Right, so after we've had the debate and discussion, then we'll know if there would have been a conflict of interest beforehand. So DAP members had better depart for that debate. Thank you. Any others? Then we go to the adjourned item, according to regulation, that has to, the confirmation of minutes. Moved Councillor Telfer that they be accepted, seconded Councillor Hutchinson. All those in favour, all those against, this is carried unanimously. Thank you. Sorry, we will now go to the Halico foreshore matter. Members, in terms of the business tonight, we do have officers from the Department of Planning, Transport and Infrastructure, otherwise known as DIPTI, coming along, apparently at 7.15, but it seems most convenient to get through as much of our council business as we can and then use, because that's going to be an expansive discussion and take place behind closed doors, apparently, according to the wishes of DIPTI. We should probably leave that to the end and still try and finish at 8.30, as I understand it, but Council's current intention this evening so that we can move on to the Strategic Directions Committee meeting. So that's just to sort of let you know. We'll try and get through as much as possible and leave that DIPTI discussion for, you know, roughly between 8, 8:30, see how we go. Okay, on page 20 of your agendas, councillors, you've seen the report and the motion. I will take advice from staff because some members have already spoken in the debate. You'll remember it was adjourned from the last meeting. Councillor Crossland put forward a motion and there was some lack of certainty about how much funding was left in a particular fund, and that couldn't be answered by staff on the spot, so it was adjourned for further information to be obtained. Just before I go to members, do the staff have anything to add, or are we ready to go? Just remind members, councillors Crossland, Bolescu and Pfeiffer have spoken. So I'll just ask for any... Councillor Crossland, you have a question?
Yes, the seconder is not present, so does that mean it has to be seconded by somebody else now?
I think it's, but this is a seconded motion that's been adjourned, right? So we're actually halfway into the debate and it has been first and seconded. So we're sweet to go. So I'll take any final speakers with the motion that's before us on page 20. Lescu has spoken. Do you have a question?
Ms. McKenzie was looking a bit perplexed, so I just wanted to make sure that everything was okay. We don't want to have to revisit it, especially as we are going to be potentially approving or otherwise a significant amount of money.
Through the chair, the only reason you would need to change the seconder is if there is a variation where leave of the meeting is sought. At the moment, we can say as it currently is, it will only be if it changes through leave of the meeting.
That's what I say. Councillor Hull?
I'd like to ask a question from administration. In brief terms, what is the difference between the motion, the recommendation that was put in the original council agenda, in terms, particularly in terms of money, how much we're spending, as Councillor Valesky says it's a lot of money, and the Crosland motion? I'd like to fully understand what the difference is in terms of what was put to us and what was by the administration and what was put to us by Councillor Crosland.
Yes, please.
Yeah, through the chair. The original motion, the original report requested the funding come out of the existing budget of 975, which the motion that then has asked for that funding to come out of the asset sustainability reserve.
No different in value?
Value is the same, yeah.
Councillor Pfeiffer.
So, do we have the amount currently sitting within the asset sustainability available tonight, and also what the boundaries are according to the policy? The floor amount.
Through the chair, we do have the on page 38. Yes, 38 of your agenda there, you'll see the balance in the asset sustainability reserve, which is 3.135 plus other funds which are now in quarantine for CFPP of 5.597. So the total balance is $8.7 million, which will cover the requested funds in the motion. I suppose the intent of the policy was that the funding should be used for directed towards renewal of existing assets. Now, there is already a budget in place of 975, so we would recommend that you use the existing budget, which was in the original report, but obviously Councillor Crossman's motion recommends that we take it out of the reserve fund.
And just to add to that, Councillor Pfeiffer, on page 37 you'll see that a minimum balance of $2 million is to be retained. That was the other part of your question. Any final speakers? Yes, Councillor Holm.
In terms of the funding source again, the administration's recommended a different source. They obviously feel that the source that's been suggested is not the most appropriate source. And there is money in the original source that was put to us by administration in the report?
Yes, the original report recommended that it comes out of the Haramay Reserve budget, which is the 975K, which there's ample funding in there to cover this report.
Mr. Mayor, could I ask the mover to briefly explain why one source over the other? Like, there's money there, I just want to...
We'll take that on notice. The mover may respond to that in reply. We'll just see if there are any other speakers in the debate. There being none, I'll ask Councillor Crossland to close the debate. Thank you.
Thank you. In closing, so just to refresh people's memory, there were a number of options given to us by administration, which included spending a lot more money than this to fast-track this particular development at least a year sooner. Myself and Councillor Gard obviously don't want to spend an extra $150,000. We'd rather wait the year, so we opted for option two. Now, my understanding is the 975,000 or thereabouts is for Heron Way Reserve. It's in the long-term financial plan. That money was supposed to be for the playground. As we know from Javoy Street, 975, you'll probably just get a playground. 600,000, you probably won't. So the reason why I've changed the way staff presented it is we do have the funds in the Asset Sustainability Fund. By using 300,000, or 305 or 308, whatever it is, and using that money from the Asset Sustainability Fund, will maintain the 975 in the Heron Way Reserve and will show a commitment to the master plan, and it will also maintain the seed money to try and apply for future funding. If we're applying for two million, 2.5 million with 600,000, I think we're going to be struggling. But if you've got 975 and you're applying for 2 million, 2.5 million grant funding, I think we're in with a chance. So it's really, I want to see some commitment from around the room to this project proceeding, even though we've agreed it's going to proceed at a very slow speed and a staged speed. And also I must remind you that wherever the funds come from, if the Heron Way Reserve Fund is maintained, any spending of that money still becomes in front of this council for a decision on when and how it's spent.
I may change the funding source as we go along. But we note the report endorses the submission of a development application to install the two LED signs, two being one each side. Subject to development approval, install two LED screens. And note that the installation cost estimate of $27,500 for the LED screens is funded through a reprioritisation of work. So that's where I'd like to curtail that. Mr. Mayor, I'm very conscious of the fact that we have tight purse strings, and that's where I was probably coming from with the previous motion. I've made my sacrifices in my ward by saying no to the Marion Domain Plaza. In this case, I'm aware that money's got to come from somewhere for this. Now, I saw an opportunity, members, as you might remember, when I first put this, that the money could come and probably should come from the savings that we'd actually achieved from our stance with the LGA, the compensation money, basically. And I'm still of that view. I don't want to be audacious to suggest that we actually suddenly find this money to do it. We've got the money. It's a windfall. It's something we're unexpected. And the reality is, Mr. Mayor, that apart from some new signage at the Halicote Library that I saw last weekend, this will be the first outdoor LED signage that the council's had, to the best of my knowledge, where other entities, Hamilton School, Linnell School, they've all got them. You know, we're being left behind in terms of technology and signage. And apart from the pool, and this pool does need promoting, by the way, and marketing. It's something we haven't done particularly well. We could also market things happening nearby, the new skate facility, the Oakland's wetland events. You know, it's all very close. And it's not limited to the pool. The LED signage could be programmable. You can change it to deliver whatever message you want. The current signage that we have on there is crude. You have to put the slats in and it's all manually done and probably hasn't got the capacity to convey different messages all that readily. And I just think that this will actually be a bonus that we don't fully understand in terms of the marketing of the pool and other surrounding activities.
I have a question, Your Worship. The amounts that the LGA refund is providing us is not $27,500, is it? The amount is less. Okay, so I guess that leaves a funding gap that's not addressed in the motion that's been.
It does indeed. The refund from the LGA subscription, the 27 to 5, that's GST, will go back into general revenue. Now, obviously, if the intent of the motion here is that we spend 27,500 not out of the existing capital works budget, minor capital works budget, essentially the 27 to 5 will go into general revenue. You would have to put through that first budget review adjustment to spend the leave the existing budget intact and spend the 27,500. So it would be first budget review adjustment and that 27,500 out. So essentially it would go into the general revenue pot, 27,500 as GST, and you would then you should propose to have it as the first budget review adjustment to 27,500 next week.
Thank you, Mr. Bunnell. And can I ask whether there's an issue from a governance point of view of making a decision on another item that's on the agenda tonight through this motion. Ms. Jarrett?
Certainly I would recommend that council make decisions on the basis of the full information that they have. And so from a governance perspective, to make a decision prior to the LGA matter having been discussed in relation to the utilisation of that refund is not good governance practice. If I could make a suggestion in terms of, and adding to what Mr. Barnwell said, that one of the matters of consideration and practice that the council has done in the past is to refer these sorts of considerations through to the budget review process so that council can then consider the allocation of funding to an initiative in the fullness of consideration of the whole of the budget as a budget consideration.
I'll just say that tonight particularly we're trying to finish before 8:30. And with this complication to the motion, I'd invite anyone, if they wish to move a procedural motion to adjourn the matter to the next meeting. But It's up to you, Council. If you want to deal with it now, we can deal with it now. Okay, well, I'll just say to all members that there's a tendency to, for us as a council, to make decisions on the run, for ideas to come up at meetings, and sometimes they're good ideas, and sometimes they're tricky ideas. And either way, we have to be wary of any ideas that come up at meetings which could have been brought up beforehand and been the subject of further consideration by other council members and by staff for the financial or the governance aspects.
Mr. Mayor, this is not the first time it's been in front of us.
That's a general comment, and that's based on sort of 6 months of experience. And it's not directed at you, Councillor Holt. Anyway, be that as it may, the motion as printed has been moved. Is that seconded? Councillor Blascu?
It is a lot of money, but I guess if you look at it, its infrastructure and its promotional stuff, that will last a while. It is a shame it wasn't in the original scope and power provided, but it wasn't like for like. And I think that Councillor Hull's made a good point that we can actually look at promoting other things. And I think that that's important, because you'll be able to promote a whole lot of other things happening, or even reminders, things like, you know, get your dog, dog rego done and things like that. So I see it on the off-season, and at other times it can provide an important and direct way of communicating. Just one thing, make sure that no one can hack into it, because that could be a bit of an issue if someone hacks into it. Like they can with baby monitors and stuff like that online, you wouldn't want, something that would be a bit of a reputational issue.
Is anyone speaking against the motion? Then I'll put the motion. Those in favour, raise your hand. Those against? It's carried by majority. MREP and notice of motion. I note that I haven't been advised of any interest in the nomination up to this point, but that can occur during the meeting. How do you want to proceed, members? You can either move to note the report, or you can move to note the report and indicate that you'll be moving to appoint someone, and I'll ask for an expression of interest. Maybe it's better to do that first. I'll ask for an expression of interest, whether anyone is putting themselves forward. Councillor Telfer, question?
Given that Mr. Woods is actually on the Local Government Finance Authority, or that he attends those meetings in some capacity, is there some value in having Mr. go to this meeting?
Clarification from Ms. Garrett.
Through the Chair, this is the AGM of the LGFA, and so the representative is an elected member representative, and it entails the vote and entitlements on the motions that are obviously brought forward as part of that process. The meeting is generally held on the same day that the LGA holds its AGM, so it's usually held at about 8 o'clock in the morning, and it goes for about 45 minutes generally. So that's what this meeting is their annual general meeting, not the regular board meeting.
Okay. Motion, please, councillors. Move to Councillor Gillespie. Moving to note the report. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland. Any further discussion? All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. we move to page. I note the questions on page 48, and in that regard, do we need to do anything to table up? Okay. In relation to the item on page 48, elected member expenses, etc., legal advice received to help answer the question from Councillor Hull has been distributed to all members. Question, yes?
Given the legal advice we have, is there any legal expectation now of the body corporate or us elected members in terms of acknowledging what could be maladministration in terms of actually dealing with it?
Councillor Hull, the essence of the advice is to suggest a course of action, but it's up to Council to take a course of action. I'd suggest that this having just landed on the desk for most people, it would be prudent to take it away, consider it, and if it's appropriate to take any further action, that it be brought to the next meeting.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I'd hate to see this Council accused of picking and choosing which Mayor it applies legislation to.
Yeah. Sorry, that's a comment. This is question time. So we'll move on, but members can consider if they wish to take any further action. We move on to page 49. That was a question about compliance operations from Councillor Hutchinson. So that is noted. On page 51, a question from Councillor Hull regarding the volunteer program annual report. That question is answered. Arriving late but included for the purpose of the minutes, etc., is the question from Councillor Hull regarding dip-tie compensation for trees taken down in the Adelaide to Seaford rail corridor, and that question has been answered. And now we come up to notices of motion.
Mr. Mayor, can I just flag that in regards to the rail corridor dip tie question, it's actually raised more questions than it has answered, so at the appropriate time, if I could address that.
I think the best course of action is either to take it up during discussions this evening, although there have been there was a request for that to take place under in terms of confidential meeting, or once again, take the information, find out where you think there are holes in it or further information required or further action required, and bring that to the next meeting. That's what I would suggest. So we move to motions with notice. We seem to be tracking all right for time, so we'll proceed in the order for now that we have them on the agenda. Councillor Byram to move regarding police clearances. Over to you, Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Worship. I've moved this motion because I do find that we have an anomaly in Council with all our volunteers having to have police clearances, but we as elected members do not. And I want to explain a situation that arose for me this year. And it's in my role as liaison councillor for Friends of the Library. The Friends of the Library group are an older aged group. Sorry. And they are finding it a struggle with some of the things they have to do. Some of the things that happened this year was the first one was on Valentine's Day and was the Book Lovers Day. And they were handing out gifts to people in the library. They didn't have enough volunteers for that day, and so I volunteered to help them as their liaison counsellor, but they were concerned as to whether legally I was allowed to do that. The second occasion was on the Marion Celebrates weekend, and the Friends of the Library had a stall at the festival where they were selling second-hand books from our library, raising money to help with things in our libraries. Again, they had problems that day in that they were only allowed to use the people on the committee who had a police clearance to actually work on that day. With them being in their 80s, 90s, some of them, they really were finding this a struggle, and they are very worried about how they're going to cope with this in the future. The added side on that was that I was worried that some of them may have had a heart attack or something of that nature because of the type of work they were doing. When we had the subsequent meeting after this and we were discussing this problem, staff advised us that they couldn't use any of the members of the Friends of the Library who had not had police clearances done. They could only use the committee who, as volunteers, have police clearances. I again reiterated that I was happy to volunteer for these types of things, and I was specifically asked by the committee members, do you have a police clearance? To which I said, no, elected members are not allowed, do not have to have police clearances, and yet I am allowed to go out and help them. So we have a situation of anyone who stands up to be a volunteer in Marion needs a police clearance, but we as elected members don't. I believe we should be setting an example as a Marion Council to say, let's get police clearances done of our elected members. Yes? Yes? I'm still moving the original one that I put up, Your Worship. As to the dates that they're to be done by, I wanted to take advice from staff as to the time frame for getting them done by.
Staff?
Through the Chair, in terms of, so just a clarification, would elected members be having national police checks or going through the DCSI?
Again, today I was asked for my DCSI check from Seaview High as their liaison councillor, so I believe that's the one we should be having.
So the advice is that can take up to 8 weeks?
So I would be prepared to say a 3 month time frame? Or the end of a month if you wish. Yes, that's fine.
I'll just briefly speak on this. Like I say, I support this motion because it shows we are taking a leadership role. We are showing the community that we are standing as elected members, as volunteers, and we also are not above the policy of having police checks. We do interact, we do get access to schools, sports clubs, and other vulnerable people unchecked. And the other reason being is that obviously part three of the motion is that we already have half our staff police cleared. The motion is that all Marion Council staff will be police cleared, and if we're having that type of motion go forward, then obviously we should be putting ourselves up there to have a police check first as a bit of a leadership role. The reason for the staff having police clearances is these people are out there in badged vehicles, uniforms. They are representing our brand, and I believe that all our staff are honest and trustworthy, and we can actually endorse that fact by having them police cleared as well.
Before going to other speakers, I'll just ask for clarification on staff. I note that staff were suggesting that they bring a report back in the future, but of course the motion has been with staff for over a week, so I'm asking staff for their advice on any issues, any problems they see arising from the motion, basically it's in three parts. Part three about staff of the city, that's obviously dependent on employment contracts. The first part is about current councillors. The only problem which probably hasn't been addressed is that if people don't do it, there's no power to disbar people. And secondly, in relation to nominations by people, that's covered by state legislation, but I'll ask staff to comment on any problems they might see.
Through the chair, yes, with this we were requesting a little bit more time so we could bring back the full details in regards to what are the legislative framework that this can potentially operate in. The reason being is that, as Mayor Hannah has just highlighted, that under the current legislation there is no legislative provisions to enforce this for elected members or for candidates. The other thing that we need to be very clear on is in regards to what is our obligation for current staff members. If police clearances were undertaken, would there, and something obviously came forward, would there be any discrimination based on those? So we just wanted to make sure that we provided council with a full report so all of the avenues could be explored appropriately before any decision was made about how this could potentially be implemented.
Other speakers, Councillor Vlescu, then Councillor Hull.
Look, I agree with the sentiment of what Councillor Byram's saying, that and you know, maybe that if the boards or whatever want us to sit on there, we need to have police clearances, they need to let us know, and we can, if we have them, we sit on them. If we choose not to take them, then we can't participate. Fair enough, I don't think we should get any special treatment. But I do have concerns about rushing this through without getting a report, especially for staff, because there are issues, and there have been issues in the past with discrimination, and I guess also who... there will be, you know, there might be staff that have had indiscretions in the past that would not affect their role now or not have affected their ability to do what they do, and they could be discriminated because of that. So I'm going to move an amendment. I'd like to foreshadow that the motion becomes the one from the previous section, because I don't think this is a matter that we should be taking without advice, especially as we are responsible for our staff and there's discrimination issues.
Councillor Vlescu, may I offer a suggestion
sure.
to fulfil your intention? If you simply move the procedural motion at this point to adjourn to the next meeting. No, he's still speaking. Order. Then it would give staff that time and we'd be left with the original motion. I would have to give some thought to whether your amendment is actually a negative of the current motion. I suppose it's probably not a negative. So look, it's acceptable if you want to deal with it that way, but I just give you the alternative.
I guess the procedure would probably be easier.
It might be quicker, but that's no guarantee.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. I can't really separate it though, it has to all go in procedural. So yeah, I'll do the procedural. Because I think all matters.
Look, maybe I shouldn't have put you off. I mean, if you want
procedural motion, Your Worship, we adjourn the item to the next meeting.
Well, no, I haven't. I'm just waiting for Councillor Vlescu to clarify.
Well, he hasn't stated anything, so.
I guess I'll let.
Yeah, I mean, as usual, making decisions on the run can tie us up in knots. And I'm just thinking it through while I'm chairing, as each of you is kind of thinking through the consequences. If it's a procedural motion, then when we come back to the next meeting, we'll have a more extensive staff report. We'll still have the same motion that's been moved by Councillor Byram. If Councillor Vlescu's motion is successful, then if anyone wanted to, including Councillor Byram, wanted to vary the motion in light of further information received, then there would be six more tackles or fresh start for the next meeting. So from that point of view, there's an advantage to the amendment. Councillor Vlescu, that's up to you.
Well, I'll let Councillor Hutchison move the the procedural motion if I can't do it?
You can do it.
Okay,
I'm just saying you've got the choice of either the amendment.
Can I talk on why I want to do it, or does I have to speak straight away?
You can speak. You've got a little bit of time left, and then, because I've been interrupting you, you can finish speaking and then move one or the other.
Yeah. Look, I do support what the intent is, Councillor Byram, and I know she's keen to get this done as soon as possible, but I just think we've got a duty of care, especially to the staff, to get this done. And I guess personally, I've got no problem with getting one, but I've got a problem with being compelled. Like, I'm happy to go get one tomorrow, but I'm compelling other elected members. And I'm guessing I'd like to also know the process for that. Outline exactly what are we checking for, you know, is it a fit and proper person, all that sort of stuff, and who reports it, whether we just come up with a card or do, you know, we bring out here and basically throw everything on the table and say, you know, so-and-so went through a red light and so-and-so did this, and, you know, 15 years ago someone got into a fight. I'd like to clarify all that as well, so that's why I'm moving it to happen next time, and I know I'll forfeit my right to speak by doing so.
Thank you, Your Worship. I probably should start off by saying that one of my favourite movies was The Poseidon Adventure. And the essence of that is to try and predict what is going to hit you fairly hard in the future. And I was really quite perturbed, I suppose, after... No, well, that's another one again, another favourite movie. But I was perturbed at the forum at which Minister Brock spoke as to his rather vivid hint that cost-sharing is something that all councils should consider. I have had some conversations with the various parties since that day. First things first, I would compliment the writer Fiona Harvey on her discussion on what cost sharing the council currently does enjoy with other councils. That in itself is very edifying from our points of view. And I think it's something that all of us should be cognizant of every week of each year that we're in our doing business. However, I would want to see an extrapolation of the thinking that pushes a council towards sometimes the need for cost sharing to something beyond just need. Because it was very interesting, you may have seen the article that I emailed around a couple of days ago regarding the Victorian Auditor General's survey of councils and cost sharing, which was right on the nub of what we are talking about. And he was quite surprised that some 70 or 80, I think it was, councils were not really on the pace as to where they could cost share, and he mentioned back office structures. And this is where I feel that we ought to be expanding an ethos, as it were, and to become more front foot about how we can get on with business more cost effectively. I do feel that we're going to be up against it as far as future funding is concerned, And I do feel that there is a very high potential that we're going to have rate stress, and we know what sort of percentage rates as revenue is to this council, and it's a very unhealthy percentage. And so given those two points, I think there's only one other way to go, and that is to make sure that we constantly research that our house is more than in order, that we're actually moving ahead, we're in front of the wave. Exactly, that we're in front of the wave. That was my intention, Your Worship.
The only thing I'd add is that I think, you know, it's great that Councillor Gard's put it forward as ongoing and to be reported to the Audit Committee as well. I think they're the most logical things that we need to be doing as Council. Yep.
Yes, I permit. Well, Mr. Nick might have suggested then at the end of the resumption of standing orders, because I just feel that it does. I'm happy to lead off. Mr. Mayor, sure. Mr. Mayor, I think it's time for us to bring this to a head. We now know how much our bill is for this coming year. It's over $100,000, including GST. I've learned today that councils like Charles Sturt and Onkapringa are actually paying less in the coming year than us. Can we actually come to grips with that? Now, Mr. Mayor, to sum up where I'm coming from, if this council's really serious about being frugal with ratepayers' money, not to have any sacred cows, not to have a petitioned area that we just put to one side and ignore in terms of benefit for our city and how much we pay, this is the great case in question. If we actually decline our membership of the Murray-Darling scheme because we felt that it was a waste of money, have a look at this one. This is it on steroids. So that's my point.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I mean, I do see value in being with the LGA. However, a bit frustrated that we haven't seen a proper review of the payment schedule. Look, I'll hold back on saying exactly what my direction is until I hear some other speakers, I think.
There was a suggestion that we would consider $25,000 less. That is about $75,000. And I've been putting my mind around whether, in trying to make a statement, we withdraw for a quarter of the year or something. I think to withdraw from a whole year means that we're drawing from a whole structure and debate. But it might be possible from the 1st of October to the 30th of December for us not to pay that and then pay the other quarters. That's my best guess.
Thank you, Yoeshaba. I would like to ask to go down the lines of suspending our membership indefinitely.
Thank you. I think there's a lot about the LGA that's not captured in the simple monetary value of the transactions. I think that there is a lot of time when our staff can ring the LGA and save themselves an hour getting some advice. And it's really hard to add that into the debate, but I just... It's really hard to judge whether that is worth the 100 grand a year.
Yes, thank you. I do have a question first, and I just want to make sure that we haven't already paid this 96,000 because we are in this financial year. When does the payment normally get paid?
Through the chair, yes, we have received the invoice, but the invoice has not been paid.
Thank you. Okay. So, I would actually like to see us put a letter to the LGA for the new CEO when he takes up his appointment next month, and that we request that they do a review of all of this, and until after the review is finished, we will not be making any payment of our fees. And that gives us a chance to then review what the new CEO might do and what he's going to review. And ask that a review be done. Quite definitely.
I think it seems like it's more about the activity and the personalities involved as opposed to the role of the LGA. I think we do need to have an LGA where we're part of it, but I think they really need to change what they give us and give us better value for money. And it shouldn't sort of be seen as a bit of a social club. And I guess, you know, you don't want to have a situation where we fall the victim of divide and conquer and our residents are all the worse for it. So I don't want us to pull out, but I think Councillor Byron's suggestion to give the new CEO a bit of, give them a chance is what they outline before we consider payment. And we can reconsider in a year's time.
Yeah, I think it's of questionable value. LGA financial membership. I don't think the sky's going to fall in by us not being a member in the next year, and it probably will result in a significant decrease in the following financial years if we ever want to take up membership again. I also think that, in terms of debate, that if we want our views to be known on policy issues, we can write direct to the MPs or the ministers. We don't have to have our views filtered through the LGA.
Your Worship, members, I think there's probably three aspects to this. One is how do we compare, and do we compare equitably with the other councils? And I think that's a big question mark. The second thing, I think it really would be worth our staff doing a cost-benefit exercise on this, not necessarily page after page, but at least giving us some the big ticket items that are gains, because this decision is about money, I think, nothing else. And the third thing is, I think we ought to have in mind, if we were to go as far as considering a pullout, what alternatives and how do other councils see the situation? There may be some that really align with us, in which case, the sharing of facilities, the sharing of brain power, if you like, and cost sharing in general are all things that we stand to gain if we were to regroup.
Saving $105,000 a year is quite appealing. I would be still a bit reticent that we may end up spending more than that in some of the things we would lose out on. However, having said that, the fact that we've asked for some indication of a formula and why we're paying so much more than everyone else, and I think we've been waiting months for that and it still hasn't come forward, if we don't get a rate reduction and we don't get an explanation as to why we
are supposed to be paying a lot more than bigger councils such as Onkaparinga, then I'm afraid I would vote to pull out just because of the lack of transparency.
Okay, well, I'll chance my hand and move that the City of Marion withdraws from the LGA forthwith. As alluded around the chamber, it doesn't mean that it's forever. Even Councillor Appleby mentioned this, that it will actually send the message, the strongest possible message, that we're not to be messed with. The LGA knew that we wanted a reduced fee. Councillor Telfer alluded to that earlier. They knew. And pretty much they've thumbed their nose at us by saying, well, that's it, guys, you pay up. It's a touch of arrogance involved in this, and it's really bothering. Because if you compare Onkaparinga or the other council, Charles Sturt, their population is much bigger than ours. Their budget is a lot bigger than ours. So for the life of me, I can't understand the rationale as to why they come up with us paying more than them. Like, I think their budget at Onkaparinga is 140 million, something, 190, and ours is 86. So, guys, think about it, and think about what the average punter in the community might expect us to actually do in our position. Councillor Appleby's right, the sky won't fall in. We will have to take countermeasures in certain areas to make sure that certain things are tidied up and looked after. And as Mayor Hannah knows, there's a number of private entities putting their hand up in terms of filling the gaps. And it'd be interesting to see how much they may cost, because, you know, there is a cost involved in filling some of the gaps. But might I point out, too, that this $100,000 bill is not the end of it. If we want to do any procurement through the LGA, we pay more. For all our lighting, street lighting, all this lighting now, we're paying the LGA a procurement fee to manage that as well. So the $100,000 is not picking up everything we're paying. Members, if you think about training and seminars and all that, we're paying full commercial rates for those. There's no doubt about it. Mayor Hannah cited one particular case, I think it was a half-day exercise, and they must be the most expensive spring rolls in the city. Now, you know, I just think that enough is enough. Let's send a clear message to the LGA. We do not have sacred cows in this place. And not only that, I might also suggest that the LGA is not always fully representative of the beliefs of this council. Most of us actually are very accommodating in terms of council amalgamations. We are accommodating in terms of transparency facing up to the council election. We know the LGA has got a different agenda to us. So there's more to this than just money. There's a few other measures that need to be sent in terms of a culture and representing us, and not the CEOs and the mayors, that we expect from. And that's the point that I'm making tonight.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, look, I think Councillor Hull touched on a good point about our views being watered down at the LGA. I think that's fair to say. And members, I wouldn't fear that if we're going out on our own, because I've heard, we won't name which councils, but there are other councils who are prepared to move this similar motion as well. So this could be the start of something new.
a new approach to dealing with government and different levels of government. So this is a step that we need to take. It's a clear step forward. Yeah, I commend that to you.
I still don't feel I have all the information about the impact this decision will have on council and our community. I do see some of the arguments are quite emotive and I feel are possibly based on personalities. We do have an opportunity now with some new leadership at the helm for them to see if there is going to be any change. If it's more of the same and we're not listened to, but we haven't, and I think previously people haven't been really listening, we need to articulate exactly what we expect from the LGA and give them the opportunity to address that. So we say, this is what we think an LGA should be doing for us. Not about his, you know, like we had in our forum where the acting CEO was just waving a document at us. I didn't like that at all. But we should say, this is what we expect the LGA to do. And other councils should be saying, this is what we expect. And our expectations, just like the ratepayers have asked, that we do something about the cost and how the money is spent. But I don't think we should pull out until we look at that avenue, because that's the correct process for it. And I don't think, you know, so I can't support it. And I think we're probably being a little bit foolhardy to jump in at this point without giving them that opportunity. Now, if we're in the same position next year, I most likely will take a different view, but I think we should give them that opportunity.
Can I move an amendment, please? Can I amend it that we... look, I really want to support and I really want to send a message, but I think we draw memberships too much. So I'd like to amend it that we suspend our membership from the LGA and we'll reconsider our membership on provision of the formula that has been applied to each council and the offer of a reduced membership fee of $70,000, which is the membership fee first suggested by Councillor Hall about 3 months ago, which the LGA seem to have ignored. The formula used, the LGA uses to set the membership fee. And a membership fee of $70,000 per year is offered. I think in that way we do send a message, and I'm hoping that that meets everybody's... City of Marion membership fee is reduced to $70,000 per annum. And the reason for that is it's very difficult to challenge that formula when they won't tell anybody what the formula is. And I know they keep saying it's too complicated to provide, but that serves two purposes. We can actually recalculate ourselves what we should have been paying, and we can work out why bigger councils pay less than councils of our size. Yeah. Yes. Yes. There's a formula, this magic formula, which they use to calculate. No, I think that's pretty clear. I'm just hoping that we found some middle ground and we can actually make a point to the LGA rather than just keep dragging it on.
Thank you, Worship. I actually also wanted to put up an amendment, but that's gone quite a way to the amendment I was going to talk about. But I would like to see us take out the figure of the 70,000.
because I think we need to be able to, after we've given all the information from the LGA, we need to come back and review that and make a decision on that at that stage, not now. I think that if Councillor Crossland's happy to take that bit out, and we say that Marion Council will review it after they have given us a report and a study, which can be after the CEO.
Can I ask to change my amendment, or is it too late? It hasn't been seconded. I'm happy to change it for Janet then to second it.
From the new CEO on what his way ahead was going to be in looking at helping the council in reducing the monies. Yeah. But I don't know how we want to word that. Or perhaps the CEO review. We could say a CEO review. Yeah. Your Worship, could we put a time frame in that we want this to be done by? We're not paying the fees here, we're just talking.
Your Worship, can I ask a question? Could we look at the confidential matter after the SDC session?
Assuming we do go in conference.
Point of order, we need to vote on the amendment first. I don't think that's the way the meeting procedures work. I think we need to be clear about what motion we're debating, Your Worship. Speak now, but I don't think we're complying with the meeting procedures. I don't think this amendment is the right way to go. I support the original motion. It waters it down far too much. the issue here is that we're paying too much. It's not really the formula. Yes, we'd like to know it, but notwithstanding what the formula highlights, it's too much. That's the bottom line. And I think this has dragged on long enough, this issue. It's time to make a decision. This amendment really, it weakens our position, and it's gone on long enough. We need to make a decision. The financial year will be over before we make one. It's August now. It's really tonight. We need to cease our membership.
Yeah, I really do sympathise with Councillors Hutchinson and Hull and Appleby. However, I do think that we could shoot ourselves in the foot by creating a lot more work than we're paying for if we're not a little bit more prudent about this. I do think that a loud and clear message needs to go out to the LGA to say that if you haven't got a mathematical formula, well, then you jolly well should have a mathematical formula. Because at the moment, on face value, it's Rafferty's rules. It's like, put your finger in the air and we'll decide on a figure. And that's exactly how it looks. And I'd just label the LGA quite unprofessional as to the way they've gone about setting a fees. So that message needs to go out to them.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'll speak against both the motion and the amendment. Look, I recently changed my health insurance because I wanted a reduced rate and I wanted a service that was more attuned to my actual needs. Now, that was easy because there's, you know, dozens of health insurance providers out there. It's very, very easy. In this example, there's no other option. It's this or it's nothing. And I'm concerned about going without health insurance in this regard. I'm concerned about going with nothing. Look, I'm not one to back down on things, but at the same time, I don't know if we've really, really considered the internal measures that we're going to need to take in to counter these. For instance, I don't know what the cost is of cloning Kate McKenzie, because we're going to need a whole heap of her to actually keep up with some of this stuff. You know, there are other things that are going to creep up as a result of this, if we were to completely cease it, that it's just impossible to predict. The classic is, you know, advice on legislative amendments and what it actually means. That takes quite a lot of work to actually figure that stuff out. So, look, I want a reduced rate, I want services that are more aligned to our needs, but I just don't see that this is the way to go about it.
Thank you, Your Worship. My question is the motion suspending the membership until the report is received, or is it received and considered?
Just a question as to whether, with the feeling on the floor, instead of saying we suspend its membership, we do not pay until we receive and review? No? No? Okay, sorry. Question. Would the mover and seconder of the amendment also, after received, add the words and considered, or well, I'm asking the question, would they add the words and considered?
Can I ask a question just to clarify that? Very quickly then, so my understanding is once we get that information, we're still not locked in to sign up for another year. We can still decide that we're going to pull out completely or sign up. What we're saying is we're suspending membership until we get those things and we can reconsider our position.
Briefly, please, because we've got guests and we've got a quarter of an hour before the meeting finishes.
Mr. Mayor, it's been said here that we need to give them an opportunity. Well, Mr. Mayor, this has been in the papers. You know, the figure that we asked for, $70,000, $75,000, has been in the paper. The LGA monitor the papers. I'm not sure whether it ended up in the advertiser, but nevertheless, it's been well and truly aired. They've had the opportunity. But let's understand that they've had the opportunity and they've thumbed their nose at us in it with a degree of arrogance. There was a little bit of a fear campaign crept into the debate with the insurance. Mr. Mayor, we keep our membership of the mutual liability scheme. We're allowed to do that. You don't have to be a member of the LGA to be a contributor to that insurance campaign. So please exclude that. I'm not sure why that came into the debate. And legal. Well, Mr. Mayor, legal firms are regularly conducting courses of instruction and advice and updates on legal framework in local government all the time. I think there's one coming up soon. You know, and it costs us nothing to get that advice. You know, or if you're going to pay to go to the dinner, well, you'll pay for that. So that sort of advice is readily available. And South Australia is not a big place. It's not as if we're actually the greater city of Dubbo and we've got to actually wonder what's happening in Sydney. It's all happening very close to us. We can ask our local MPs, as somebody suggested before. It's not that hard to have accessibility to get advice. And look, if we really had a big campaign going as a local council, we could probably throw $30,000 towards a lobbyist to get a better outcome than I'm sure we get from the LGA to get what we might want from the state government to get their ear. So I just thought I'd briefly mention those bits that have been mentioned in the debate. Needs to be tidied up because we won't be in any way compromised legally, financially, because we've still got access to the financial arrangements with the LGA as well, and we've got access to the mutual liability scheme. There are other incidental things that we may have to pick up, but it'd be interesting to see how competitive the private sector is in terms of addressing those issues. As for training, there's courses going all the time, both in South Australia and externally.